Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast for September 20th, 2011. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and today I'm speaking with Silvio Gutkind about a new study that identifies the small GTPase Rho as a potential target for reducing breast cancer metastasis. Most cancer deaths result not from the growth of the primary tumor, but from metastasis of cancer cells from their original location to distant sites where they establish secondary tumors. So understanding how cancer cells metastasize and how to prevent metastasis is a vital step towards developing new cancer therapies. In a paper published in the current issue of Science Signaling, Silvio Gutkind's group studied a mechanism that's often used by breast cancer cells to spread from the primary tumor to distant sites. Gutkind spoke to me from the National Institutes of Health in Bethesda, Maryland. Welcome, Dr. Gutkind.
So, thank you so much.
In many types of cancers, metastases have a greater impact on the progression of the disease and mortality than the primary tumor does. How important is metastasis in the progression of breast cancer specifically?
In every cancer, the primary tumor in general can be treated either by surgery or by different approaches like radiation or chemotherapy. So usually the problem is the dissemination of the tumors, which can go to lymph nodes initially or other organs. So the problem is that those usually are undetected and cannot be treated, so you cannot excise it. So by the time the primary tumor is treated, quite often, not always, but sometimes patients will have small metastases. These are called micrometastases. They will not be detected. And these are the ones that quite often reoccur. And particularly in breast cancer, this appears to be one of the major problems with the primary tumor. The patient undergoes mastectomy, total or partial, and then quite often there is chemoradiation afterwards. But in most of the cases that you see recurrence will be from these small metastases that will be already disseminated prior to the surgery and radiation.
How do the breast cancer cells metastasize? Do they use mechanisms that are distinct from how other types of cancer spread?
In principle, most tumors, first, they will be invaded locally. They will grow. They will start degrading the matrix that retains them. And sooner or later, these cells will start acquiring the ability to gain access to circulation. So that is very general. Almost all of the solid tumors will be doing the same. The difference in the breast cancer or oral cancer is that they may acquire the ability to migrate in single cells or close to be single cells. I mean, it's not always the case, but these are epithelial cells. So epithelial cells, usually they touch to each other, they hold together, they walk together, and they, you can say, they invade together. So most of the cancers that are epithelial will have what is called collective invasion. So they will be all together invading or moving. This is typical in head and neck cancer and other solid tumors. In breast cancer, you have the process, which is, you can say, is transient, in which the cells can detach, if not fully, partially from each other. And this is a phenomenon which is very well described as EMT, epithelial mesenchymal transitions. In the case of breast cancer, in most cases, the cells loosen up from each other, and they acquire the ability to migrate as a single cell or as small groups of cells. That will be something that distinguishes breast cancer and probably a few other cancers, in which the cells can migrate a little bit more freely. In that sense, the ability to gain access to the circulation may be even easier for these type of cells than those that grow and expand as a mass, like most solid tumors. So the cells acquire this ability to move faster, to migrate, to invade in single cells or small groups of cells. For them, it's a little bit easier. Sooner or later, they gain circulation in the lymphatic system or may gain access to the blood circulation from where they will disseminate to other organs. So that would be very general. In the breast cancer, probably what is slightly different is that the breast cancer cells will be attracted to some organs. So rather than just migrating to any organ to the circulation of the organ, it will be attracted to some of them. And this is exactly what happened typically in breast cancer. They are very attracted to the bones, in other cases to the lung, and certainly through circulation they can go to almost any other organ.
You mentioned factors that can attract metastatic breast cancer cells to a new site. And one of these attractants is the chemokine SDF1, which signals through the receptor CXCR4. In this study, your group went looking for aspects of CXCR4 signaling that were required for metastasis, but not for normal function of the immune system, because signaling through this pathway is also required in the immune system. How is signaling in the metastatic context different from in the immune cell mobilization context?
In the context of the immune system, CXCR4 uses GI proteins to signal to the downstream targets, which involve the activation of small GTPases like RAC and AKT, for example, and MAP kinases. In the context of these studies, what we notice is that CXCR4 was coincident with a very high overexpression of another G protein called G13. So G13 and G12 represent the family of G proteins that was very highly overexpressed in breast cancer cells. And what makes it unique is that G12 and G13, I will just say G13 because it's the one we studied, but would be equivalent. Many years ago, actually, it was shown by different labs, including ours, that this particular G protein is endowed with the ability to activate very specifically and very potently the small GTPase role. So the idea is that in breast cancer cells, CXCR4 may gain the ability to stimulate G12 and G13 and then stimulate potently the small GTPase role.
Were you able to specifically prevent or reduce metastases by interfering with signaling through Rho?
Yeah. In animal models in which we use primary tumors and they spontaneously metastasize, we show that it's a remarkable reduction in the ability to metastasize when we block G12, G13, or when we block Rho activation.
One of the Rho inhibitors that you used is a drug called Fasudil, which is used clinically to treat other conditions.
Yeah.
The CXCR4 inhibitors had all of these side effects in mobilizing immune cells. So how about Fasudil? Does Fasudil have a lot of other side effects that might counterindicate its potential use in preventing metastases?
There are no drugs that will have no side effects. There is always a balance between a risk-benefit for the patient. So Fasudil has not been approved by FDA in the United States. It has been approved in Japan. It has been used since 1995 for particular vascular conditions to prevent vasospasm, so the contraction of the blood vessels. In the U.S., there are 4 clinical trials currently being conducted for different applications. And the answer to that is the evidence of side effects include hypotension, include reduced platelets. So there are certainly a number of side effects, none of which include the mobilization of bone marrow-derived hematopoietic stem cells. But I would say at this particular stage, we need to have more information about the side effects before we can make an assessment of risk-benefit and whether for individual patients there may be benefit of exploring the use of Fasudil or another ROCK inhibitor.
Let's say theoretically that Fasudil doesn't have terrible side effects that would preclude its use for preventing metastasis.
Yeah.
At what stage would you want to give this drug to breast cancer patients? And would it be appropriate for all patients or just those at highest risk for metastasis?
These are two different questions. In every case, will be initially during the phase of experimental, will always be in the highest risk patients because are the ones who can benefit the most. And certainly the balance between risk-benefit will be towards taking some risk with the potential benefit of delaying or preventing metastasis.
And for breast cancer patients, who are the ones at higher risk? Are they people who have had a later diagnosis?
So this will always be a clinical judgment. First of all, once the patient is diagnosed, probably definitive surgery or chemo radiation, or if it's certainly if it's hormone dependent, there are excellent treatment options. And if the tumor overexpresses HER2, certainly there are excellent targeted therapies for patients that do have this type of cancer. So there are already in the clinic many viable options for the initial treatment. So for those for which there are no targeted therapeutic approaches, and this is where the so-called triple negative or basal-like cancers may fit into that category because there are no targeted treatment options right now, that would be one that our information will consider the highest risk. So the so-called triple negative or basal-like, that would be the first consideration. The second is that in no case this will be a treatment option, will be what's considered adjuvant. So in addition to the appropriate treatment, this may be explored to, you can say, secondary prevention or preventing the recurrence due to metastasis. So you will use this probably long-term after initial treatment, whatever the treatment option is, to prevent the recurrence of the disease or the further dissemination of the tumor.
You could essentially use it to extend remission.
Exactly.
Now that you have identified differences between CXCR4 signaling in the metastatic context and the immune system context, are there other opportunities to develop compounds that might target specifically the metastatic context?
In principle, the use of drugs that will affect in downstream targets overall, they would be probably ideal. Maybe even some of the drugs that are currently being used for example, lowering cholesterol may have an ability to diminish the activity of raw GTPases. In that sense, certainly there is also the potential clinical exploration of trying to reassess some of these drugs that are being used for other purposes, like, for example, hypertension or in this case, for lowering cholesterol. However, what we try to come across also is the potential of developing a new class of, you can call it medications. Now we know that G-protein coupled receptors may adopt many conformations. So depending how the ligand, in this case HT1, how the agonist and antagonist bind may adopt completely different conformations. So the potential that we try to put forward in this particular study is that it might be possible to develop drugs that would block CXCR4, but not in a conformation, not in a way it normally works, acting on G-proteins of the GI family, but the ability of blocking, if all possible, only to activate this G12, G13, and hence RO. So basically what we are trying to put forward is the potential and the idea that it may be possible to develop what you can call 6F4 signaling selective inhibitors, which may not have the side effects they will have the regular 6F4 inhibitors, and may be more targeted towards metastasis prevention. So that is an idea we put forward. Certainly that requires experimentation.
Well, thank you, Dr. Gutkind, for speaking with me.
Thank you for calling.
That was Silvio Gutkind, senior author of a research article published in the September 20th issue of Science Signaling. That paper by Yagi and colleagues is titled "A Synthetic Biology Approach Reveals a CXCR4 G13 Rho Signaling Axis Driving Endothelial Migration of Metastatic Breast Cancer Cells." And that wraps up this Science Signaling podcast. If you have any questions or suggestions, please write to us at sciencesignalingeditors@aaas.org. The show is a production of Science Signaling and of AAAS, Advancing Science, Serving Society. On behalf of Science Signaling and its publisher, the American Association for the Advancement of Science, thanks for listening.